for Chase Elliott.
Yeah, buddy. We did it, boys.
Checkered flag. Seventh win for Chase Elliott in his 157th career start.
That feels awesome. Just, man, it's a tough week for sure. We've had some tough losses, but that deal on Sunday night was a heartbreaker. So it's not the Coke 600, but, you know, any win in the Cup Series is really hard to get. And I really appreciate everybody at Hendrick Motorsports across the street here and all our partners that have made this happen. Just appreciate it. Appreciate my team. Al made a great call there at the end to get it tuned up. And luckily, the run went long, and I think that fell in our favor.
Chase Elliott with the win last night in the rescheduled race. That was supposed to be on Wednesday. And so now we get ready for the race coming up on Sunday. So NASCAR certainly is back. And Chase Elliott with the disappointing way of losing in the Coca-Cola 600. A little bit of redemption there. And NASCAR without the fans, but really the first major sport to really get going again. That and I guess UFC.
Yeah, NASCAR, they got going, and they got going, man. Races a week. They're down to one this week, but then they'll have two more next week.
Which is smart.
Yeah. And they got to fill their schedule up and try to get back on time, and it's a sport where you can do that.
It makes sense.
You got everybody just racing in the same area right now, and then just move on to the next place.
Another sport we'd like to have back would be college football. That would be terrific. And Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, was with us yesterday. He, like Wyatt Thompson, the voice of Wildcats on Tuesday, optimistic there'll be a college football season.
Maybe reasonably close to on time, if not the very first date we're supposed to, maybe within a week or two. But I fully expect that we're going to get college football in. I mean, people don't realize it's a $4 billion industry.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean lining the pockets of ADs and coaches. That means all aspects of stadium workers and you know, the medical side and the vending side and all that. Obviously, the TV dollars are the biggest. But the point is, like, the American economy really needs this to happen as well, as it does with all of our professional sports.
All right, so Brian Haney, he was on with us yesterday, and he's pretty optimistic. Wyatt Thompson was as well. I think we're going to have college football in some form. The question is, how long will we be able to go? Will there be a stoppage if there's another outbreak? And also, in what form? Will there be a little bit of? There'll be a few fans, limited fans. Some stadiums will be packed, 80,000-100,000 people. Time will tell, but it does look like we're going in the direction of having college football and pro football. But, of course, as we know, that could change on a dime very, very quickly. All right, Major League Baseball, some more news coming out in regards to the labor situation. But before I get to that, today would have been day two of state baseball and softball in the state of Kansas and the start of state track. Had everything been normal,
yes.
Today we would have been having state track and field reports and hopefully some teams making it to state baseball and softball. The Bullitt girls softball team would have had a good chance of
Yes, absolutely.
And those opportunities gone because of COVID-19.
Yeah, I put these senior spotlights together, and it's like, how do I handle spring? Because I know a lot of these people would have done some great things in the spring, and it still eats at you a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott Boras, agent, very powerful agent, is advising his clients, players, Major League Baseball, to remain firm in their positions. Here's what he said. He sent out to, apparently it's an email that was obtained by the AP that he sent out to players. Scott Boras did. Here's what he said, and I quote, "Remember, games cannot be played without you. Players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. Let owners take some of their record revenues and profits from the past several years and pay you the prorated salaries you agreed to accept, or let them borrow against the asset values they created from the use of those profits players generated for them." Yeah, interesting. I would kind of agree with that, and I'm not a big Scott Boras fan. As you know, the players agreed to being paid prorated amount based on the games. The players did. The Players Association agreed to that. But then the owners came back once they decided, well, we might not have fans. Now they wanted to go a 50-50 revenue split, which, of course, the players understandably objected, which I don't blame them at all. They know that the owners have been making a lot of money off of them, this and that, and they can also tweak their numbers and hide some stuff. And they're like, hey, we've already agreed to do prorated, which is what you should do. You shouldn't get paid for not playing half of a season. Although you could argue players that sit out that aren't hurt, like Kawhi Leonard, should they be getting paid for sitting out games?
Yeah.
I mean, if the organization's cool with it, I guess it doesn't matter. But that's the situation right now, is the players and owners are a long way away. It seems like they're growing further apart. I still believe the owners really don't want to have a season. I think if they really did, we already would be further along in this process. because I think if you really sit down and look at it objectively, the players have agreed to take a prorated salary. This was already an agreement between the association and the owners want to change the rules because they feel like, well, oh, we might not have fans. Why wasn't that thought of before? That's what I don't get.
It had to have been.
That's on the owners for not figuring out
I know. Like, every other place is talking about not having fans. Why would you be immune to that? Like, why would your entity not have that?
It's something that's been talked about for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. Now, here's the thing. We're talking about Major League Baseball. And I will say, I get where people go, oh, those spoiled Major League Baseball players making millions of dollars, blah, blah, blah. Max Scherzer, Mike Trout. I mean, Mike Trout's supposed to make $37 million. Play half a season, he makes $18.5 million. He's going to be okay. Max Scherzer's making $35 million. He'll make $17.5 million if they play half a season. He'll be okay. The point is they don't want to take 60, 70% pay cuts and other guys get their full amount because they say we've earned it. We paid our dues. We're the best in the world. We signed this. We shouldn't have to take anything less than the prorated amount. And I do get that. I do. If you apply that to the real-life world, that makes some sense. But the people that are really affected are not Major League Baseball players. I mean, they are. Don't get me wrong. But those guys that have already been stars making money, I don't feel sorry for them at all because there are a lot of people doing a lot worse in life, living from paycheck to paycheck or don't even have a paycheck, relying on the government to give them an unemployment check, wherever it may be. But how about the biggest problem, really, if you want to look at sports in regards to Major League Baseball, is not Major League Baseball level, it's minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Minor league baseball is more than likely not going to have a season. They've already talked before the COVID-19 thing even popped up. They were talking about contracting affiliates and reducing the amount of roster spots held by what teams consider to be non-prospects. You know, like a 35-year-old guy that's, maybe Tim Tebow's not really a prospect. You know, it takes up a spot. You know, and different levels they're talking about.
Yeah.
They're talking really low A-ball, things like that. And so those guys get paid, okay? And those teams have players, and that is a cost. And so now Major League Baseball teams are releasing hundreds of minor leaguers. And there are three factors into these massive cuts. One, well, there's not going to be a minor league baseball season more than likely anyway. So you go ahead and make your cuts without fear that they'd have too few players, field rosters. You're not going to have a season anyway. The contraction issue, which I just told you about. And here recently, earlier this week, the Oakland A's announced they would stop paying their minor league players their weekly $400 stipends. They took a massive and rightful public relation hit for that and backlash, with all teams grouping together to release players. They'll be rid of their financial obligation to those players without taking a similar PR hit. So what the teams are, the A's said, we're not going to pay these $400 stipends. They've been better off just releasing the guys.
Yeah.
Then obviously you don't have to pay him if you released him. Wow. It is crazy. Never thought we'd see something quite like this.
No.
You got hundreds of minor league baseball players being cut by their teams because of finances.
Yeah, and, you know, what do you do? I mean, that's where your first cuts are going to be.
Sure.
Because they're part of your organization, but same time, you know, those really low-level minor leaguers that you don't feel are your future maybe even, you just got to make some tough decisions like everybody's doing at this time. It's just I don't know what you do other than what they did there. If you're really trying to save money, now you're not saving a lot as much money if you cut a 20 guy making $25 million
right
in a year, but you're not going to cut that guy because he's important to your team, obviously.
Sure.
If you're paying him that much, so
right,
you have to find the balance and find where it's going to work out for you financially.
It's just kind of how it usually works. The little guy gets the shaft.
It is, yeah.
So it feels that way, doesn't
it?
NFL's made some rule changes, but not one that some people wanted. And that was to give the team an option of an onside kick or a fourth down and 15 for their own 25. It was tweaked by the Eagles to where it was going to be an untimed down situation. Anyway, here's what the NFL has decided to do. And here are the rule changes as I pull them up. They're going to make permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews that include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any successful or unsuccessful try attempt. That's cool with me. Competition committee expands defenseless player protection to a kickoff or punt returner who is in possession of the ball but who has not had time to avoid or ward off the impending contact of an opponent. So that's once going to be a judgment call at times, but it's about safety. And the competition committee prevents teams from manipulating the game clock. This is the Bill Belichick rule, people.
Yeah.
Or Mike Vrabel, by committing multiple dead fouls while the clock is running, so that will be eliminated, and so forth and so on. The league office increased the number of players that may be designated for return from 2 to 3, incorporates interpretations applicable to bye weeks during the regular season, and postseason. So those are the new rules, but nothing like not a major rule. Of course, there's no they eliminated the PI review now, which was a disaster last year, and I think that's why they don't want to make a major rule change this year is because of the disaster that was last year. Yeah. That was a knee-jerk reaction because the Saints are so upset. Even Sean Payton says, who's on the competition rules committee, that we rushed to that and we did it way too soon. We didn't do it right, and even though they were victimized by a non-call 2 years ago, he even agrees that it needs to go.
Yeah.
And it was a joke because they, even when it was obvious, even a replay when you knew there was interference, they would never, they did overturn a few, but not very many. By the way,
it has to be egregious.
It's like, well what's egregious?
That,
What's egregious?
If it's PI, it's PI. Right. What do you mean?
Yeah, but to some people, one's a lot different than the other. You know how it is.
Exactly.
Everybody sees things differently. The onside kick thing, over the years, the onside kick about 13% successful, but the last few years with the safety rules in place, about 9%. And so there's a lot of talk by, they didn't go to a vote on this proposal to get a 4th-and-15 option from the 25 in the NFL instead of kick onside kick. Some people are worried about, well, you have this lead this whole time, you work so hard, and you allow a team to, you know, throw a pass and go 75 yards for a touchdown or whatever the case may be. It'll help some of the teams a lot more, like the ones with the great quarterbacks. Obviously, I would think Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes would come to my mind right off the bat with big arms. So there is a little bit of fear by that. But what's funny is they use all these numbers, and there's a story on CBSSports.com, and I think it makes an interesting point. I don't agree with everything the writer said, but he made an interesting point. So these NFL owners talk about all the numbers. They keep using numbers, and they go by analytics. Well, we got these numbers. They pay an analytical department, and the analytical department tells them, and here's the numbers, that onside kick success rate is 9%, but over the last so many years is 13%. Do you know what the success rate is a 4th-and-15 play?
Probably 6%.
It's a little better.
Yeah.
It's at 16%.
Is it? Yeah.
Okay, so that's not massively better.
No.
So what you're doing is you're making the game a little bit more entertaining, increasing the chances of a team to come back by 3, 4, 5%.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a major, major, major change.
No.
But it would be a different rule change. I don't know if I'm fully sold on the idea or not, but when you go by the numbers that they pay people to do, and then the numbers come back, and that's what they show them, and they're like, they come up with other excuses that have nothing to do with the numbers. They can't prove to you that Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are better at 4th-and-15 at their own 25 because that's hard to come up with that information.
Yeah.
Now, the Chiefs were pretty good in 3rd and 4th and longs last year. We know 3rd and 15 in the Super Bowl worked out pretty well from about their 25, actually.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. They go by the numbers, pay analytics to go by the numbers. They come up with an idea that's by the numbers. The Eagles came up with it, the Broncos did first, and the Eagles tweaked it a lot this year. And then it comes down to, we don't even want to vote on it because of fears that you have about the rule. It has nothing to do with the numbers.
Yeah.
So why did you put the numbers together? Why'd you bother with analytics if you're going to ignore them and not use them? I'm okay with people ignoring analytics. I'm okay with not going by the numbers all the time. But when you're paying for it, and you hide behind the numbers so many different ways, and then when it comes down to the numbers show this, unequivocally, that's the percentage.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you know, that's going to be an unfair advantage for this. Well, you move the extra point back 10 yards, 14, what was it, 10 yards? Yeah, 10 yards. You don't think that's an advantage for the better kickers?
Yeah.
You don't think that was an advantage for Justin Tucker versus anybody that kicked for the Buccaneers during that time?
Yeah.
That was a huge advantage. They didn't worry about that then. So why are they worried about Mahomes, Rodgers, and Roethlisberger, and Wilson, and whoever else? You know, Brady getting a better chance of winning. Well, if they're that good, so be it. They already have a better chance of winning right now. What are you going to do? How are you going to level the playing field? Mahomes is better than any other quarterback in the National Football League. Okay? Or if you think Lamar Jackson is number one, fine. There's clearly two of the best quarterbacks in the league are Jackson and Mahomes. Well, that's not a fair advantage. That's not fair. What are you going to do to level that? Of course there's an advantage.
Maybe it's not fair because Lamar Jackson can't throw like Patrick Mahomes.
I guess.
Maybe that's why.
Is it fair to have an onside kick with a guy that's really great at kicking onside kicks?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I don't. It's a smoke screen to say we're not ready to make that big of a change. That's what it is. Just come out and say what you feel.
Yeah.
What the owners don't have the canad. I cannot come up with the right word, but the kahunas, okay? The owners don't have the kahunas to go all the way with that idea because they have too many reservations and so forth and so on, and so they just went, oh, we're not going to vote on it. We'll just table it. Okay, so we'll wait.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 years from now we'll get something like that. It did take a while for replay to come in. Then they eliminated it. Then they came back in a better form, and it worked out. So maybe that's what will happen with this.
Yeah.
All I know is onside kick isn't very exciting because nobody reach covers one anymore.
Yeah, it's like
down to 9%.
You're not even like thinking, okay, they're going to onside kick. I don't even know I'm watching this. If your team's down, it's like,
right.
And I didn't get it.
Right.
And they usually don't.
No, they
91%
don't.
91% of the time, they don't.
Now, when your team's in the lead, which my team, the Chiefs, are in the lead a lot late in games, then I probably should be okay with the way it is, and I'm glad the owners didn't change anything. But I will say, if the Chiefs are behind, I would like 4th and 15 at 25 because I got a guy named Mahomes.
Yeah.
We're a Packer
I'll take
fan.
It.
You want Rodgers doing that.
Give me a chance, 4th and 15 at the 25. Just do it when you're up, too. You know?
Yeah, right.
It's like make it, take it. I want it back.
Sure. Now, if you have, Brian Hoyer, you're probably saying I'd rather just kick it.
Yeah.
And you'd have that option. That's the thing is, this new rule,
they're not
eliminating the onside kick. You'd have the option. Good stuff.